Thank you, Don. I guess I didn't realize it was the first sermon. I don't know if it's appropriate or not. I told a member of our congregation I'd probably do some whining tonight, and he said, what kind of cheese do I need to bring? And so, starting out a new year, and a lot of people make New Year's resolutions. I don't particularly make what would be called a resolution, but in this sermon I have putting this together and looking upon my life and the way it's been lately that I needed to make a resolve. And the reason I needed to make that resolve is because in 2009 I have let life beat me down. And I say I've let it because I have a choice. We have a choice in those matters. And a lot of people have it worse off than I have it, and that's a fact. I'm greatly blessed. But there are, you know, I didn't used to think I was a pessimist, but when I look back over my life, I suppose I am. Because I don't look for the positive in things most of the time. And I don't like that. And I have decided that towards the end of this year, or towards the end of last year, I became a person that I didn't want to be around. You know, I can come in here and I can be joyful and look happy and put on my masquerade face and nobody knows what's going on. And it's nothing in particular. It's just life. And so, if I were to put a title on this, because I think this is what God's trying to teach me, is to dance in the rain. And it's about attitude and gratitude. Sometimes I don't seem to be as grateful for the blessings and the temporal things that the Lord's given me. I look at the things that aren't going right in my life, and I seem to dwell on those, and I dwelled on them so long this year that I really got to be a pain to myself, to my wife, and to the co-workers that I work with. Not so much maybe to you all because you're not around me day in and day out. And I became like a fly that, or a bee that has been trapped in a jar and the lid's off. And that bee buzzes around and it bangs into the side. And it buzzes around and it bangs into the side. And it bangs into the side. It keeps banging and beating its head. And it just won't see the way out. You've been there. You've seen flies that you either, for whatever reasons, you don't smack them with a fly swatter. And you try to get them out the door and or out of your car. And you have the windows open. And you're trying with your hat or whatever, your hand, and trying to get that flyer, that bee out, and that thing just keeps buzzing into the window and just keeps smacking its head. And that's kind of the way I felt. I felt like I was trapped in despair, and every time I tried to get out of it, I just kept buzzing into the side of the jar of despair, when really all I had to do was look up. Look up to heaven and get down on my knees and pray to God and whine on His shoulder a while. But what I found out is when I do that, He cradles me and holds me, and then He chastises me and He tells me why I need to buck it up. And so I was looking back and thinking about those things and knowing that I have to change my attitude. I've got to make a change. And so I'm going to work on that this year. And it is a work, because as I found out this afternoon trying to finish this sermon, I haven't made it there yet, because I have a 7-month-old Labrador that just pestered me to death this afternoon, and I got upset, and I flung her around a little bit until Anna put her out in the garage, because my wife's smarter than I am. And I think of the scriptures that we have, and one of them that came to mind is in 1 Corinthians. And it's just one verse. It's the 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and it's the 13th verse. And here Paul says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Well, when I was so caught up in myself, I didn't particularly look for an escape. And they weren't particularly temptations. They were just adversity. But I looked temptation up in the Strong's, and guess what? Adversity is part of the definition. So I have to remember that there's nothing that's come upon me that's not common to man. And that's just the way it is. And then I got to thinking about Paul and all the problems and things that he's went through, besides the problems that some of our members have, that because of the economy, some have lost jobs and lost houses and are in a whole lot worse off shape than I am. And I feel bad because I wasn't seeing the blessings that were right there in front of me. The blessings that I still have a good job, and I have a roof over my head, and I have food to eat, and I can make ends meet with my payments. And I don't know why. Sometimes I get that way. But I got to thinking about Paul, and so I looked it up in 2 Corinthians in the 11th chapter. He's got a list here of things that he's talking about false apostles and to the Corinthians, and he just names off a lot of things that happened to him. In the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians and in the 24th verse, Paul says, "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." All those things Paul endured, and yet I don't recall in places that he says that he got down, got depressed. And then I go to 1 Thessalonians in the 5th chapter. And in the 14th verse, this is the same Paul that had all those things that had happened to him in his life. But he says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." I had become a person that didn't have much patience at all. It didn't take me long to get frustrated with people that I worked with and customers that I fixed and repaired their telephone lines with, and it's just stuff. I wasn't patient towards all men. I wasn't patient, very patient with anything, let alone myself. And he goes on, "To see that none render evil for evil unto any man, But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so I need to remember that, even in the times when things aren't going the way that I'd like them to go, God's teaching me something, and I need to give thanks for it. And I need to remember that the things that Paul has written here, that I need to comfort the feeble-minded and support the weak and be patient, not to render evil for evil unto anybody, and to rejoice evermore and to pray without ceasing. And most of all, I need to remember that in everything give thanks, because as he says here, it's the will of God in Christ concerning me. And another scripture that came to mind when I finally figured out some of the things that I feel like the Lord was teaching me was in Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter. And my hope is that the Lord won't stop teaching me things, even when it takes me a long time to figure out what it is He's trying to teach me. I wished He'd give me a syllabus of my life so I could look at it and know what's coming. 3rd chapter of Ecclesiastes, though, starting at verse 1, it says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat, drink, and enjoy the good of all his labors, it is a gift of God." A gift. "I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men shall fear him, fear before him." There's a season for everything. And I have to remember that even though there's times that I may be going through a season that I don't like, there'll be an end to it, and another season will come along. Because there's a time and a purpose for everything under the heaven. And then I thought about Adam and Eve and what it talks about in the Book of Mormon in 2 Nephi, the 1st chapter, on page 85. Second Nephi, 1st chapter, page 85, and I'm going to start with verse 111. It looks like everybody out here knows the story of Adam and Eve, so I won't recount it from the beginning. In verse 111 it says, "And now behold, if Adam had not transgressed, he would not have fallen, but he would have remained in the Garden of Eden. And all things which were created must have remained in the same state which they were after that they were created, and they must have remained forever and had no end. And they would have had no children, wherefore they would have remained in a state of innocence, having no joy, for they knew no misery, doing no good, for they knew no sin. But behold, all things have been done in the wisdom of Him who knoweth all things. Adam fell that men might be, and men are, that they might have joy. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that He might redeem the children of men from the fall. And because that they were redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves, not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil, for he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself." He had me there, the devil did. Because I was a miserable human being because of the attitude that I had. I wasn't grateful for much of anything. And I get to looking back here and it's like, okay, if I don't know misery, I won't know joy. And if I don't know joy, I won't know misery. So maybe I need to rejoice in the fact that I had a bad attitude. Because if I can change that around, I'll know joy. Because if you don't have something to compare something to, you don't know if you've got it good or if you've got it bad. So the bad can be good. Because then you'll have something to compare it to. And we have the freedom to choose. We have the freedom to choose eternal life or eternal damnation. But I also know that we have the freedom to choose our attitudes and what we can be grateful for and how we can look at situations. I know that that's there. And you know what? I ran across a psalm. It'll be the 30th Psalm. And actually, I ran across this as I was studying, and again, I thought, I liked it. Because David praises God for his deliverance. And I'll just read the whole thing. Psalm 30, it says, "I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." I have a hope that I read here that I can give thanks to the Lord forever, and that my mournings will be turned to gladness. And instead of having a be negative attitude, I can have a be positive attitude. I need to make me a big sign and put it in front of me, this big B plus for be positive. Because when we're like that, a whole lot more people like to be around us. I might even like to be around myself more often if I'm be positive more. And I got to thinking about some other things, and one thing that came to mind that I thought would be a good resolve for myself and for all of us. And so that is my resolve for this year, besides being be positive. It's found in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Starting at verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, talking about Jesus here, tempted him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And that's what I try to resolve to do this year, is to love the Lord my God with all my heart, my soul, and my mind, and also to love my neighbor as myself. To hold doors open for people as they go in and out of establishments. To say please and thank you all the time. To be a be positive individual. To try to lift people up more than put them down, and shouldn't put them down at all. To edify, to see the good in all things, even the things that I don't like. There's good in it. I just have to look for it. And my testimony with all this is that I found myself in a be negative attitude so bad that I was having trouble getting out of it. I knew it was wrong, but it seemed like the more I tried to change it, the worse things got. At least in my eyes. So I was getting down on myself for that. And for a couple days, I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me to be administered to. So I work in the same area where Jim and Bonnie Case live. And I wasn't too far from their house, and I decided that I would see if Jim was home so I could go by and be administered to. Because I felt like the Spirit was really bearing down on me that that's what I needed, because I needed help. So I took a break. And I went by. Actually, I called first. Jim was home. So I went and I got administered to. And it's helped greatly. And shortly thereafter, I got an email from a person. It wasn't anything that they wrote. It was something that they'd sent on. And I couldn't tell you the website because I don't remember where they got it from, but it was something that I needed. And it was a poem from a book, and it's the name of the book is Learning to Dance in the Rain, The Power of Gratitude. And there's a quote by a person by the name of Vivian Green that went along with it, and it says, "Life's not about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain." And it was a poem by B.J. Gallagher, and it's called The Weather Report. And I'll end with it. Any day I'm vertical is a good day. That's what I always say. If you ask me, how are you? I'll answer, great. Because in saying so, I make it so. And I give thanks, I can choose my attitude. When life gives me dark clouds and rain, I appreciate the moisture that brings a soft curl to my hair. When life gives me sunshine, I gratefully turn my face up to feel its warmth on my cheeks. When life brings fog, I hug my sweater around me and give thanks for the cool shroud of mystery that makes the familiar seem different and intriguing. When life brings snow, I dash outside to catch the first flakes on my tongue, relishing the icy miracle that is a snowflake. Life's events and experiences are like the weather. They come and go no matter what my preference. So what the heck? I might as well decide to enjoy them. For indeed, there is a time for every purpose under heaven. Each season brings its own unique blessings, and I give thanks.